Are fixer-uppers worth buying? And does it work for you? All this and more on Indy's Real Estate Gurus this week.
Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Ritmus NMLS number 664589. Ian Arnold NMLS number is 1995469. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix-It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Ritma.
Hi, this is Rick Ritma, your hard-working mortgage guy.
And this is Ian Arnold with Advisors Mortgage Group.
If you have any mortgage questions or just want to talk to us, go online to hardworkingmortgageguys.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguys.com. You can get all of our information right there. And thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. We're going to go over fixer-uppers. Not only are they worth buying for you to buy a fixer-upper, to do a fixer-upper, but also it doesn't make sense to buy one that's already been fixed up.
Correct.
So we're going to go over both those. Before we do, we're going to go over the numbers this week. What's going on in the markets as far as how is that affecting our mortgage rates? And what is the outlook on mortgage rates? You know, one of the big things, there's several things that matter. Inflation is one of the big issues. Jobless claims matter. They kind of give us an idea where things are going. And I wanted to go over the jobless claims. The jobless claims for the week of 625, they came in at 231,000 initial claims. And that was right in line pretty much, you know, what we've been seeing. And then it was 1.328 million continuous claims. Again, pretty much in line. It decreased by 3,000 on those continuous claims. It decreased by 2,000 on the weekly claims. However, they generally do updates they'll redo the numbers in a week or two, and then all of a sudden we'll get, you know, what it really was. So we'll just have to wait and see again next week. Bottom line is the jobless numbers are getting worse a little bit. This time they were going to get slightly better, but that is one indication that everything is turning and that we're going towards a recession. There's a lot of indicators right now that we're going to be going into a recession.
Yeah, but you even heard on the news even recently that some companies have started recently laying people off. I mean, I think Tesla announced that they were laying off 10% of their people and everything because costs are just going up dramatically. I mean, yeah, you're still going to have the open jobs for like the fast food, the restaurants, all that stuff. Retail is hurting dramatically, just like food restaurants. But those have been hurting ever since once the pandemic started. But now I think now you're starting to see it with the cost going up. You're going to see bigger companies put a hold on hiring people, and also you're going to see some layoffs because it costs.
Yeah. And you know, it's a real problem. I was over the weekend, I needed to buy a thing to plug in for my computer. Okay. Mm-hmm. One of the wall plugs, because I wanted more outlets to it. And I really wanted to try to buy it locally. Okay. And it was an Apple product. So I went to Best Buy, and it was on Sunday, and I waited half an hour, maybe 40 minutes. They had one person on. He was waiting on somebody else. I never could get any help. I left, went home, ordered it from Apple directly instead. Okay, cut Best Buy out.
Yep.
Not that they care about a $30, $40 item, but what it tells me is I can't even go to the store. What are these stores going to do? I go there, I can't get help. I wanted to make sure I was buying the right item. I just decided I'll just go buy it online, and that's what I did.
And that's what most people do nowadays.
That can't be helping the stores, but let's get back. The other piece of what you were saying, you know, when you look at what's going on, inflation is killing the cost. So they're laying off people, right? Yep. Well, inflation, the way you get inflation under control is you have to slow down the economy, correct?
Correct.
And one of the ways they slow down the economy is they raise the federal fund rate, which raises the cost of borrowing money on the short term. Okay, what we see is it tends to lower mortgage rates. Sometimes that takes a little while. But on the other side, what have mortgage rates done in the last 3-4 weeks?
Well, they've gone, or they've actually gone down a little bit.
Exactly. They've gone down a little bit because they raised the federal fund rate. So when you heard, when everybody heard the federal fund rate went up and they were reporting in the news that rates are going up, that was the federal fund rate, the overnight rate. Prime went up. Credit card borrowing probably went up. But mortgage rates actually benefited because it gets inflation under control. And if you get inflation under control, it slows down the economy, but bonds are a fixed rate investment. Inflation eats away at that investment. So this is a good thing. I know I'm getting in too deep, but it is. It is a very, very positive item. And I want people to know that because I want them to know when you hear all this news out there, it's not all the doom and gloom that everybody's saying. We are going to go into a recession. But if you look at a recession, every time we see a recession, what happens with home prices?
They go up.
Right. What happens with mortgage rates?
They go down.
Exactly. So rates go down, home prices go up. We've seen an increase. What was the latest number? I was looking at that. Here's the latest number. And I think in Indiana, approximately, this is I don't have Indiana's direct, but and I think we're actually a little higher than this, is over the last month, homes increased in our area 15.1% year over total for the last 12 months.
Yeah, for 12 months, yes.
That's crazy.
Yes.
That's still crazy.
No. And then you add that in. All right. So, yeah, they say the last 12 months. So let's clip that for the last six and say it's right around there. Last year alone, we went up 19%.
Right.
So now you're saying we're going to be close to another 16%. And I think you and I talked earlier. We said it would be right around that 17% for this year earlier. So, I mean, that is, I mean, incredible.
I thought it would slow down a little bit more than it has. I thought the increase wouldn't be quite as much. I really thought we'd end the year about 10, 11% mm-hmm. increase, which is still extremely hot. That is a huge number for our area. Just the month over month, we increased 1.2%.
Yeah, I mean,
that's unheard of. I mean, and the weird part is for those of us who've been around for a long time in this, we know that this is unheard of. For those who've just been in the market for the last year or two, they think this is normal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. At least it's not for our area. Maybe it's the new normal, but I don't think so. I think that it'll go more back, maybe somewhere in between, hopefully. But we were 3-4% year after year on average for years.
I mean, my hypothesis, I don't think it'll decrease. If it does, it might be 1-2% for a year or two. But I think it might be more of a plateau, so to speak, where it might hang around, where you might only get 1% increase for a year. And it might happen that way for a few years, and then it'll adjust itself and start doing that 3-5%.
Yeah, the only reason I'm not so sure that's what's going to happen, I kind of think it's going to be hotter than that, is I think that the basics of the reason that we're seeing these increases in value, basically supply and demand,
mm-hmm.
is going to stay out of sorts for quite some time.
Oh, no, when I say a plateau, I'm not saying it's going to happen the next month or two. I'm saying in 2 or 3 years, once the housing becomes more available. I mean, because that's the biggest issue, especially here in Indiana, we have.
Right, but the basics of even the housing becoming more available is we still have the age of 33, which is the average first-time home buyer, and that's still a huge increase in births 33 years ago, and that goes on for 2 or 3 years, and that doesn't drop much. We still have the fact that we're 3 million homes behind in what we should have built over the last 10 years, and with all those numbers, I just think that it's going to be – I do agree it's going to slow down. I don't know if it's going to get to that 1%. I mean, who knows? It's, you know, everybody can have their opinion. The only time we're going to know is later on when we look back and say, hey, this is what it is. I just think it's going to be a little hotter than that for a while. And But there's only so much that's sustainable. You see that even in California, places like that, when you see these huge increases, they'll get 50% increases, you know, 20, 25% increases. But even when you get those type of increases, they've always had a somewhat of a crash.
Mm-hmm.
But this time it's kind of different because of the supply is so low compared to the demand. I don't know. Maybe when the recession hits, the demand will slow enough. But it's like we said before, if you have 200 houses available and you have 600 people trying to buy them, and it drops to only 400 people trying to buy the 200 houses,
you're not going to see too much of a change.
No, I mean, it's maybe a little bit. Yeah. Maybe you're going to get, you know, instead of 10 offers, you get 7 offers. You know, I don't know. That's what we're seeing. You know, we're seeing the amount of offers maybe slow down, but we're still seeing quite a few homes coming in at or above list.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the statistics. It's like 56% are still being sold over list price.
A house in my neighborhood, literally, and I think I said this last week, just sold 2 weeks ago, and they listed, like I said, they listed it on Friday, sold it on Monday, went 20 grand over. I talked to him finally, 20 grand over asking.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? It's unbelievable. And
yeah, so let's get into the whole fixer uppers. So there are two different types of fixer uppers. One, the house has already been fixed up. And so what that means is when you're out there looking at a house, you can tell that somebody bought it.
Like they're flipping it.
3-4 months ago, they're flipping it. So they already did the repairs for you. You're not having to do them. The other one is you find a house that may need a new kitchen, might need to do that, and you decide to fix it up. And the great news is there are programs for that, and we'll get into that here in a bit. But let's talk about the already fixed up homes, Rick. So should somebody actually be – should you be scared if you find out that that was a flipped home?
I wouldn't be scared. I would be cautious because you need to make sure that the work that was done was not just the cosmetic work that needed to be completed, and if it was the cosmetic work, that it was done correctly. So I think you always need an inspection, and I think you definitely – I mean, it's hard to say, yes, you absolutely should get one on a home that's being flipped, but because I believe you should always have an inspection.
Yes. I mean, let's be honest. An inspection costs maybe $100 to $200.
It's like $400 or $500 now. Oh. Inflation.
Oh, yeah. You keep adding that number in there. All right. So even that, if it saved you from having a cracked foundation or the AC's going out or something like that or something you cannot see, oh, it's well worth it.
Absolutely. I've had people who have told me, you know, we're having an inspection, but there's no problem. This house is perfect. And the inspection come back and there's mold. Yeah. Or I just had one come back and there were termites.
Hey, we both worked in the car industry and we've seen it both ways where the person trading the car, oh, this car's never had anything wrong with it. Nothing like you put it up on a lift and it's leaking oil like no other. And you've seen it the other way where you go buy a used car. Oh, nothing's wrong with this car. We had it. We did all this stuff to it. Well, and next thing you know, the water pump's leaking and the heated seats don't work. So I always get an inspection, even on my cars. So if you're willing to spend it on your car, why would you not do it on your house?
Right. You should definitely spend the money, but you definitely want it on a house that's been fixed up. Obviously, when you walk into one that's already been completed and somebody's flipping that, they want to make some money, and that's fair. They took a house that probably needed work and they made it really nice. You just want to make sure that it's not just the exterior that looks really nice. The exterior being both inside and outside, you know, what you can see. So you have an inspection. And then also look at the work that was done. Just like if you had the work done on your own home, you know, inspect it. I had a painter come and paint. And you know, when you inspect it, you can tell whether the painter's any good or not. So you really have to inspect it. After the break, we're going to talk about whether you should buy a home and do the fix-up yourself.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome welcome back, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Rick Ritma, your hardworking mortgage guy.
And I'm Ian Arnold with Advisors Mortgage Group.
And if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguys.com. All of our information's there. You can contact us from that website.
So if we've been going on for almost half an hour now. Now, if you're just now tuning in to us.
You can't tell time, can you? It's about 15 minutes.
No, oh,
not
okay.
Even quite that.
But if you did miss the first part, great news. We take our shows and put it on our podcasts. So you can easily go to Indy's Real Estate Gurus on any local podcast and find us. Sometimes you got to put the apostrophe S. Sometimes you don't. But you can find us right there and listen to any of our shows anytime you want. So you can listen to us at 3 a.m. If you need help sleeping, turn us on. We'll help you sleep.
Yeah, but so. I think I even tried like by our names.
Mm-hmm.
And I think on some of it was actually easier to put in Rick Ritma
if you know
how to spell it, or Ian Arnold. And it shows up. It seemed like it showed up sometimes easier. Not all the times. Because I've tried to go to most of them that were on. We're on so many. You know, I just signed up for everybody. And it's just, I find that it's not, some of them it's not easy to find us. So you might try by name. Or it could be that I don't know how to do it.
So it could be under Ian Arnold or Indy's Real Estate Gurus.
Right.
So now we got the question of the week.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
The question of the week is brought to you by Debt Crusher Mortgage, helping you relieve your stress of debt for your home and your all your debts you might have.
And it's not really, you know, we're changing the debt is the way that it is. And
yep.
Debt Crusher Mortgage is us. It's just a mortgage product that we have that works really well. It relieves the stress. You still have the debt. It just moves. So it may move, just as an example, $700 worth of payment to $200 worth of payment,
correct,
say $500 a month.
Yep.
You know, so it can be a life changer.
Which definitely, especially in this time of economy, it helps out dramatically. I mean, if I'm saving you $500, well, guess what? Your groceries went up quite a bit. Roughly, they're saying about 25%. So if you spend $200 a week, I mean, that's an additional $50. And then look at gas prices, how much extra you're spending. I mean, that would definitely help out a lot of people.
Right.
So the question last week was, what kind of band never plays music? Drum roll, please. A rubber band.
I don't have a drum roll.
Oh,
sorry.
You failed again.
I did.
All right.
So, a drum roll.
This week, what has one eye but cannot see? So, again, tune in next week and we'll have the answer to that. So, we've been talking about the fixer-upper. So, a little bit ago, we went through, all right, we just found a home and it's already been fixed up. Okay. And those are nice because you don't have to do a lot of the work. So, but now let's go into, I found this nice house. Oh, but that kitchen. It looks like my grandparents' kitchen. And the bathrooms, they need to be redone too. What can people do?
Well, you know, there's financing products that make this work. I'm going to quickly go back to one that's already been fixed up. If it's already been fixed up, you do normal financing, right? You do conventional FHA. One of the things you have to watch out, though, if you find somebody who's flipping a house, FHA is going to require that to be 6 months. Even unconventional, that can create issues if it's a month or two after they closed on it. So that you have to have, from the time the person who just bought it closed to the time you can actually take an application on a FHA loan, it has to be 6 months. So that's one of the issues that can come up. So a lot of times you'll see those flips that somebody's trying to sell, and it's they won't sell at FHA, and that's why. Okay, but if you're looking to fix up a home, we have a part of our company called Fix It Mortgage. And on Fix It Mortgage, we have a variety of products available that allow you to finance a home that you want to do either needs repairs or you want to do improvements on the home. The key here is you have to understand, if you find a home that needs improvements or needs, let's say it's missing carpet in the house, and so it's just underlayment, the bare floor, right? Concrete, the the 4x8 sheets of plywood, which is underlayment, that kind of thing. That's not financeable on a normal FHA conventional product, VA, on any of those. Or if it has, you know, if it's missing its HVAC because somebody removed it, or it does, or that doesn't have sinks or toilets, or they aren't working, or there's anything like that, anything that is considered making the home unlivable. Now, unlivable doesn't mean somebody won't live there, because I have had houses appraised that were unlivable that somebody had been living in. Okay, but most of us wouldn't want to live that way. So it's what's considered unlivable. So this product allows you to finance it. So that's one of the benefits. It allows you to finance a home that is not really livable at the time. Okay, that's number one. Number two, it allows you to finance the fix-up costs in the mortgage. So if you buy a house, let's say you bought a house that's $200,000 and you have $80,000 worth of improvements that you want to do. You want to put in a new kitchen, redo the floors, whatever that happens to be. When you do that, when you want to do that, now you have a $280,000 total investment in the house. Well, as long as the house appraises and gives us the equity we need, then we can finance it, and we can finance that entire amount.
So, but when they do the appraisal, it will be basically, if these things are done,
it's
right?
based on the improvement
being done,
which means, and this is the, you have to understand this product. This product is, no matter whether it's an FHA, which has a remodel product called a 203K, or you have, you know, the conventional products. There's a couple of those. It doesn't matter, or a jumbo product, or even a VA product, any of those, they're not easy to do, meaning that it requires a lot of additional work from the borrower, also from us, but a lot of additional work from the borrower. It's one of the reasons that we have a part of our company that's all they do, is because there is a lot of additional work, and we have people who've done it for, last time I saw, it's like 130 years combined experience. Jim Reagan, the person who runs it, is the most knowledgeable person I have ever met on this product. He actually helped them develop some of these products through in the conventional financing. He was on the task force to do that. They had to figure it out. So he knows what he's doing, but it still requires a tremendous amount of work, or a tremendous amount of additional items. Mainly, though, you have to have a contractor go into the house and inspect it, and tell, and you give them a list. This is generally how it goes. And we have a, the name escapes me, but basically we have a person. You have to hire a person who is certified to be your kind of your general contractor. I'll call him. It's not what it is, but that's what I'm going to call him. And they look at it, and they'll tell you what has to be done. You can tell them what you want done, and then you have a contractor who bids it. Now, this person I'm talking about, what I'll call the general contractor, they'll look at it, and they'll give us a price of what they think it's going to cost. And they can help you find a contractor. They're not contractors. They don't do the work. But they can help you find somebody, or if you have somebody, you can use them. But we need to know the cost before we can even have it appraised. So what normally would take 30 days or less to close on a house may take 60, 90, or 120 days. And if in this market, I have found some people, I've had some of these take, and more on refinances and purchases, take forever because the contractors are just really slow to get to it.
So when you go on this, and you were mentioning the whole close process, so they do close and then they start the work, right?
Correct. Yeah. The work doesn't start until it's closed. You can't even get an appraisal, so you can't close on it until after you have an appraisal. But the appraisal is based on the completion of the home. Mm-hmm. So you have to have the work, all the work that's going to be done, so the appraiser can appraise it to how you're going to have it finished, so that we can then you can underwrite it and get it closed. So after all that's done, you still have 30 days or, you know, 20 days or so before you can close. Mm-hmm. So it's very important that you give time for this. That's really my point.
So speaking of the whole time thing, and I know we're cutting it close on time here soon, but I'd like to say this isn't a thing for everybody, but it is things for quite a few people because you got to have the right mindset going into this. Just because it will take time. There are going to be, if anybody's done, I know Rick, you did some home renovations last year. There will be hiccups and it's just about seeing that hurdle, stepping over it and keep going to the finish. But no, is it a great product? Yes. Do I recommend it? Yes. But we try to put people in the right mind spec that look, fixing, doing a whole kitchen and everything like that, it doesn't happen overnight, people.
No, but you know, here's the thing, and the reason I may be coming off, I'm trying to educate people so that they understand the hard part of this product. Really, for us, is that no matter what we say, after 60 days of processing, people get frustrated.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's why I'm saying the whole mindset. You got to have the right mindset.
You absolutely do. And that your mindset might depend some of what you're going to be doing to the house.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going in and you have a house that has no drywall up, it's just studs, that's a whole different mindset than if you have the house that's totally livable. You're just going to go in and you're going to improve, you know, put a new kitchen in, improve new baths and maybe new flooring and paint, you know. I mean, it's a whole different, it's different. So it's just one of those things that you just have to be aware. It is a great product. Everything has its purpose. And if it's right for you, it could be the only way to finance the house.
Yes, correct.
Right?
I mean, some houses do need a lot more work, and there's a reason why they might be selling it at that point in time. It's because, hey, look, I don't want to do it. Well, great news is you can have that done and not have to worry about the excess costs coming out of your pocket immediately.
Right. I've had people now recently who buy a house that's been sitting for 2, 3, 4, I think one was 5 years, because it's hard to find a house. So they find one that's 5 years, been sitting 5 years. Well, a house that's been sitting 5 years needs work.
Yes.
You know, it needs a lot of work normally. Well, we're running up against the end of the show.
Yeah. So reminder, if you're actually just now tuning in, I'm sorry you missed us for the last 30 minutes. But again, catch us on our podcast, Indy's Real Estate Gurus.
Yep. Indy's Real Estate Gurus. You can find us almost anywhere. If you might need an apostrophe S on Indy's, you might not. You might also be able to look up Rick Ripma. That's RIPMA or Ian Arnold.
Yep.
And find us that way.
So next week, tune in to us because we're going to do home appreciations and how does it affect you. I know we briefly talked about it earlier, but we're going to actually go in depth into this.
Yeah, and that's a big topic, and it's a very important topic for people in this market. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great weekend.